Genesis chapter 2. The heavens and the earth were finished, and all their vast array. On the seventh day, God finished his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because he rested in it from all his work which he had created to make. This is the history of the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created, in the day that Yahweh God made the earth and the heavens. No plant of the field was yet in the earth, and no herb of the field had yet sprung up, for Yahweh God had not caused it to rain on the earth. There was not a man to cultivate the ground, but a mist went up from the earth and watered the whole surface of the ground. Now that's how things were originally, and I think that's why when God threatened the world at Noah's time with a flood, well, this was amazing to them because they had not actually ever had rain, because the water came from this mist. And so because it came from this mist, that is why it was an amazing idea for them that there was going to be something like water coming down as rain and a flood. And in the same way, the judgments that God is going to bring upon the earth in the last days are very strange, probably, for people. Peter says something about it being with fire that we also can't imagine. But the point is that God is going to judge sin. And we can't think that we're just going to sort of get away with it. We must be on God's side. So there's no man to cultivate the ground. So Yahweh God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nose the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Now the breath is the same word as the spirit. So the spirit can mean a lot of things, but it can mean in this case the breath, the life that keeps you alive. And when we die, it's the same with the animals. That breath, that spirit returns to God who gave it. And man, Adam, became a living soul. There he was lying there, if you like, a dead soul. And God breathed into his nose the breath of life and he became a living soul. Now the word soul simply means a creature, a person. It doesn't mean something that gets out of you, out of your body, and goes on living forever after you're dead. And also, we're not reincarnated. What that means is we didn't exist before as an animal or something or other, and then we turned into who we are now, and then we're going to turn into a giraffe or something or other. Because God made man from the dust, and that is ultimately true of all of us, that we are but dust. That's why if you dig up a graveyard and look at the places where the bodies were laid, you might see some skeletons, but in the end, even those skeletons go back to dust. So the only way we can live forever is through being connected with Jesus. God, we're told by Paul, has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. So it is only through the good news of Jesus and baptism in our days into him, connecting with his death and his life, his resurrection, that we can have this hope of eternity. So, the Lord God planted a garden in Eden in the east, and there he put the man whom he had formed. Out of the ground, Yahweh God made every tree to grow that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the middle of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. A river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from there it was parted and became four head streams. The name of the first is Pison. This is the one which flows through the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold. And the gold of that land is good. There is aromatic resin and the onyx stone. The name of the second river is Gihon, the same river that flows through the whole land of Cush. The name of the third river is Tigris. This is the one which flows east of Assyria. The fourth river is the Euphrates. Yahweh God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to cultivate it and to keep it. And Yahweh God commanded the man, saying, "Of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat of it, for in the day that you eat of it, you will surely die." So he could do anything he wanted. He could, in the sense of eating, he could eat the fruit of every tree. In fact, God is telling him, go and eat the fruit of every tree. But just that one tree, don't eat. Now, I think if he had actually done that, if he'd gone and eaten all the fruits of the trees, he'd have been so full up with fruit, he wouldn't have even been interested in the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But it's like if we put 10 boxes in front of you and say you can open all of them, but not the last one. You're going to want to open the last one. This is what we call human nature. Yeah, that's right. That's exactly. 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 And so what Adam is going to do is, in fact, every man's sin. Adam is every man. So reading this, we must never think, oh, Adam, you silly man, I would not have done that. Well, we would have done. Yeah. The Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helper suitable for him. Out of the ground, Yahweh God formed every animal of the field and every bird of the sky and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. Whatever the man called every living creature, that was its name. The man gave names to all livestock and to the birds of the sky and to every animal of the field. But for man there was not found a helper suitable for him. He'd have thought the giraffes too tall, the elephants too fat, the bird talks funny language.
Gorilla.
Yeah, the gorillas are a bit weird and a bit scary. Whatever. So, in the end, he found there was no body, no animal that was really suitable to help him in the work. So, the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on the man, and he slept. And God took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. He made the rib, which he'd taken from the man, into a woman, and brought her to the man. The man said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She will be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore, a man will leave his father and his mother and will join with his wife, and they will become one flesh. They were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Now, this is quoted by Jesus about marriage, and it's quite clear that this is God's intention. He didn't make, for example, one man and 10 women, nor one man and 2 women. He made one man and one woman. And the intention was that they should go and be fruitful, and that God would join them together to become one. And that's what happens when you get married, that God then works to make you one. And Jesus said, what God has joined together, man should never put apart. So that's why if people separate and argue with each other or divorce each other, whatever, this isn't what God wants. And he is working with us so that the two become one.